Ron, do you know what a hermit crab is? That's a being that doesn't have an identity. It's part of, so it hides in a shell and pretends right. It's something. These guys yes. are all pretending they're your dad.
And they've been doing this. You've been having this conversation with me since, I think, at least the 2000, year 2000 election cycle.
And
every time these guys want to be my father. I don't remember my father ever trying to be somebody else, first of all. And besides that, it's kind of ridiculous. He left office over a quarter of a century ago. We don't even know what Ronald Reagan would really be now as a politician 25 years later. So I don't know what these people are claiming to be in the first place.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ron Reagan Jr. Ron Reagan Jr., yes, the son of, yes, that Ronald Reagan, the son of that Ronald Reagan, speaking with Chris Matthews on MSNBC, going, what the hell? Because if you notice, if you watch any of these debates, and I've watched plenty of them, and they've changed as of late, and I'm going to refer to this as the good old days when they would simply try to get up there and out-Reagan each other. I'm more Reagan than you, and I'm more Reagan than you, and I'm more Reagan than you. Pretty sure, I was fairly certain at one point that they were just going to go dig up the old bag of bones and then run him for president. We need that guy. But the good old days, right? What we have now is the prohibitive front runner for the GOP nomination, Donald J. Trump. And I never thought that I would see that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 149. I am happy as a clam to be here with you. Today begins a two-part series where I am going to talk about hate in America. And it's only appropriate that Donald Trump is the front runner because he is leading hatred in a massive way right now. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which just released its report on hate groups have grown by 30% in the last year. And they contribute that, a large part of it at least, because in the previous 3 years, hate groups weren't growing that fast. Or they weren't growing at all. Now, they're growing faster than ever. And it looks like because of the rhetoric that the GOP is using to run for president.
In 2015, the number of hate groups in America increased 14%. In fact, that's the first time in 3 years that that number has grown. So, why so much hate? Well, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups, the increase in membership can be at least partially attributed to hateful comments made by politicians, like this.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
And this.
Islamism is a very specific and a profoundly dangerous threat.
But these groups aren't just growing, they're moving online. And that makes them really, really hard to track. That 14% number from 2015, those are only the groups we know about. The Southern Poverty Law Center actually thinks hate groups are way, way bigger than that. So as the political mainstream continues to spew hateful, xenophobic rhetoric, the trackers expect these numbers to keep going up.
The gentleman in that ad says that these guys are getting harder and harder to track. That's true only to a degree. If you really want to know who belongs to a hate group, all you have to do is show up to a Donald Trump rally.
Donald Trump learned the values of hard work, determination, and faith at an early age. He went on to build one of the world's most iconic brands and companies, which employs thousands of people. Donald Trump is running for president because politicians are all talk and no action. They will never make our country great again. He'll stop illegal immigration and drug trafficking by building a wall on our southern border, and he will make Mexico pay for it. He will negotiate great trade deals and make our military so strong, no country will ever mess with us. Donald Trump will protect Israel and brutally and quickly cut the head off of ISIS. He is self-funding his campaign. He will only be responsible to the American people, not special interests and lobbyists. It's time to make America great again, maybe greater than ever before. Vote Donald Trump for president.
I'm Donald Trump. I'm running for president. And I approve this message.
That's an official ad.
Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
He's,
I'm going to cut the head off of ISIS. Going to make America greater than it's ever been before. Going to make Mexico pay for that wall. And I'm going to build that wall.
So the president of Mexico just came out recently and said, you are not going to build that effing wall. And the president of Mexico understands he has to use that kind of caustic language in order to get Donald Trump's ears up.
And so Donald Trump says, fine, now it's going to be 10 feet higher. Before you know it, it's going to be all the way to the heavens. Jesus is going to be walking on the top of that wall.
So, needless to say, I was watching a video on BuzzFeed recently. And there was a young Latina woman and her mother. She's a dreamer. And so she's legal, but her mother is not. Which is to say, her parents came here and they gave birth to her. She has birthright citizenship and her mother is not legal. And when they watch Donald Trump ads, when they watch Donald Trump rallies, they get scared as hell. She talks about going into her room and crying after seeing a Trump rally. Look, the kind of hate that's being spewed on our televisions right now by the GOP, it hurts. It's very painful, and the victims of it are very real.
But they've got it coming. They've got it coming because they're here illegally.
Trump has to worry about the African-American vote. Trump has to worry about the Muslim vote. These are growing groups. Trump has to worry about the Latino vote. That is also a growing group. And he's not going to get the gay vote either. I don't understand how he thinks he's going to run for president. But he sat down with Michael Savage recently, and Michael Savage said, don't you worry. Those Mexicans, they're going to vote for you.
On this show, Donald, last week I said, the reason Hispanics are going to vote for you, and I'll say it, I'm not going to ask you, is because, to be honest, and it's very clear, the Hispanic culture is a macho culture. Men don't like reporting to a woman. It's just the way the culture is. And they'd rather have a man than a woman as president.
So Michael Wiener, excuse me, it's not his name anymore, Michael Savage feels okay saying that because, remember, they believe, conservatives largely, and a good section of Democrats believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee. And as of late, it really looks like she's going to be the nominee. And if that's the case, fine. We're going to work incredibly hard for her. We've worked harder in the primary trying to get Bernie there, but we will work very hard for Hillary Clinton as well.
So they said, don't worry, they're going to vote for you because they're a macho culture. There's no way they're going to cast their ballot for a woman.
So it's a macho culture.
Don't you worry about it.
If you're a conservative, you get to tell yourself whatever the hell you want to believe. And what they want to believe is that Latinos are going to be by their side no matter what. But did you know there is a conservative GOP constituency in America? I don't know what Latinos would see in the Republican platform, but that doesn't matter. Everyone is entitled to their belief system no matter what it is. And the GOP Latinos have spoken out.
Heed our warning. Don't expect us to come to your side during the general election. You are not with us now. We will not be with you then. You don't need our vote now. You won't have it then. You insult us now. We will be deaf to you then. You take us for granted now. We will not recognize you then.
Do you know what Godwin's law is? Godwin's law is because Hitler is, when we can say it, if he's not the worst, he's certainly one of the worst. I mean, he's pretty close to the top of the worst leaders in the country, one of the worst dictators in the country. So inevitably, every time somebody wants to describe a horrible leader or someone that they believe is a horrible leader, their hyperbole eventually falls to Hitler, no matter who it was.
George W. Bush is Hitler. You know, and President Barack Obama is Hitler, and everybody's Hitler, and the guy that now runs Canada, he's a progressive, that guy's Hitler too, everybody's Hitler.
So Godwin's law is, the first person to mention Hitler loses the argument, because it's like the boy who cried wolf. It's been said so much, nobody believes it. Well, there's an article in the Washington Post now, where the woman isn't necessarily pointing out that Trump himself is Hitler. The article actually, to some degree, suggests that he may be an ineffective leader because he doesn't really have a plan. He's just using a lot of catchphrases and platitudes right now. He hasn't really come out with any real plan.
Make America great. We're going to win. We're going to kill the bad guys.
I mean, it's nothing real, nothing solid, nothing concrete. She says, but if you watch the audience are very much vying for that kind of a leader, the kind of leader that Hitler was. And Mr. Trump is not at all shy about using the language of the man himself.
Should there be a database system that tracks the Muslims here in this country?
There should be a lot of systems beyond database. I mean, we should have a lot of systems.
For Muslims specifically, how do you actually get them registered into a database?
It would be just good management. What you have to do is good management procedures. And we can do that. That's nice.
Do you go to mosques and sign these people up into the system?
Different places. You sign them up at different, but it's all about management. Our country has no management. Who's is that?
Would they have to legally be in this database? Would they be there?
They have to be.
His two biggest targets right now are Latinos and Muslims. And so that reporter was talking. He goes, so how would you track them? Oh, we just track them, you know. And then another reporter asks him, hey, how is your plan not the same as what they did in Nazi Germany? And Trump, I know the audio is really hard to hear, so I won't play it. I mean, it was kind of hard to hear there, too. Trump freezes and says nothing, and then he does. And he says, Who are you with? Hold on with that. I'm with NBC News, sir. Who are you with? What's this? You know, he doesn't want to hear it. Because, yes, it's very chilling to hear somebody running for president of the United States talking like that. And Donald Trump is getting endorsements. He just won several states. He looks like the presumptive nominee. And he's getting endorsements. Chris Christie, who stepped out of the race, just endorsed him. Paul LePage, the very racist Paul LePage, who is also the governor of Maine. I played a clip of him a few weeks ago talking about drug dealers named Shifty and Smoothie. He has endorsed Donald Trump. And then, of course, Dum Dum Sarah Palin has also endorsed Donald Trump. A lot of folks with a lot of influence are getting behind this guy, which is why more and more people, even people that we never really saw as politically involved before, are starting to get involved and starting to speak out against hate.
To lump all Hispanics together, that was insulting. Now to lump all the Muslims together, that's even more insulting. Listen, this is the United States of America. This is the greatest place in the world. Do we have issues? Of course we have issues. But to try to divide and conquer, which is what the Republicans always do, it's just sad. And it's not, it really it is. I feel bad just to insult people. And then you got these losers who love that because they're afraid to look in the mirror and say why their life suck. So they have to blame other people. Your life sucks for a reason because of you, not because of Hispanics.
So that's Charles Barkley pointing out why it's not the fault of the there's always this reaction. We should blame the immigrants. We should blame the poor, and never really what the problem is. See, right now we there's a carrier factor that just closed, and there's a video on YouTube where it shows 1,400 people being laid off all at once, and they just lose their minds. And why shouldn't they? It's a very sad thing to watch. So 14, and they say, we're moving the plant to Mexico. Here's the thing. The jobs that are leaving America are not leaving America because you Americans, you just cost too much to hire. It's leaving America because they want more money shifted to the top. Yes, they're going to get cheaper labor over there, but they're not going to make a better product there, and the product certainly isn't going to be cheaper. They're just going to put more money in their pockets. And yeah, they no longer have to pay for you or your health care or your pension or anything else. I mean, down there, they can pay people a few bucks an hour or ship it someplace else a few bucks an hour. So the problem is our trade policies. You say, well, we have to do that. We have to have cheap labor. Everybody has to be cheap labor, cheap labor, cheap labor. Otherwise, you're all eventually going to be replaced with robots. No. We don't have to have it that way. And when people go shopping, when people call someone on the phone, customer service especially, they're still looking for a real human being. We're always going to need real human beings. What we need is a top marginal tax rate. There you go again. You want to raise our taxes. No, easy, easy, easy. A top marginal tax rate. And I've talked about this before. Raise the top marginal tax rate to 91%. Why do you want people to pay 91% of their hard-earned income in taxes? Easy, easy, easy. Hold on. It's a top marginal tax rate, which means nobody pays it if nobody crosses that line. And I would even be willing to let that top marginal tax rate go to $10 million a year. So that means the top three heirs of Walmart, top six heirs of Walmart don't clear $2 or $3 billion a year. Each of them clears $10 million a year. Now, I know what you're saying. Golly, Melvin, cold, heartless.
How are they going to survive on $10 million a year? I know. Hey, please. Bleeding heart as I am, my heart doesn't bleed all that well for the super duper rich. It's pretty clear that something needs to be done about Donald Trump. The establishment knows it, but they're not doing anything yet. They're just going to let this thing play out. But those in the field that are getting beaten by him, they've began punching up.
And now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
He appeared to mock a reporter with a disability.
He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
That reporter he is talking about is Serge Kovaleski, who now works for the New York Times. As you can see right there, he suffers from a chronic condition that impairs movement of his arm.
Trump says he wasn't mocking the reporter because he didn't know what the reporter looked like. But in truth, they have known each other personally for years.
He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
So that's a John Kasich ad, and John Kasich is trying to point out how awful Trump is, how making fun of this reporter with a disability. But Trump is able to say whatever he wants, get on stage and use swears, get on stage and call people retards, get on stage and call for murder, get on stage and call for torture, and nothing, absolutely nothing, happens to him.
Early 1900s, and this was a terrible problem. They were having terrorism rooms just like we do. And he caught 50 terrorists who did tremendous damage and killed many people. And he took the 50 terrorists, and he took 50 men, and he dipped 50 bullets in pig's blood. You heard that, right? He took 50 bullets, and he dipped them in pig's blood. And he had his men load his rifles, and he lined up the 50 people, and they shot 49 of those people. And the 50th person, he said, you go back to your people and you tell them what happened. And for 25 years, there wasn't a problem.
You ever been fooled by anything on the internet? I can say I have, and it's kind of embarrassing. That is Donald Trump repeating a story, a meme essentially, that he saw on the internet, telling it like it's a real story. Now, in any other campaign, this would have crashed a campaign. When this came out, when it came out that Rand Paul was plagiarizing things directly from Wikipedia pages, and he was busted on it, it sank him. President Biden got caught about a little over 10 years ago, I think it was, also plagiarizing, right? But of course, this isn't plagiarism. This is simply using an internet meme that Snopes has said does not appear to be true and is not a verifiable story. But this is a feel-good story at a Trump rally. When he wants to warm the cockles, you know, of the hearts of the people at a Trump rally, he talks about killing him some Muslims.
We have people chopping the heads off Christians. We have people chopping the heads off many other people. We have things that we have never seen before as a group. We have never seen before what's happening right now. The medieval times, I mean, we studied medieval times. Not since medieval times have people seen what's going on. I would bring back waterboarding, and I'd bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding.
Mr. Trump, thank you.
Remember when it was not okay to say that? Remember when it was not okay to say that torture was okay? When you waterboarding. There was a debate in this country about whether waterboarding was torture. It's torture, he says, and I will bring back a hell of a lot worse. And this, once again, another feel-good story at a Trump rally. I wonder if I myself could get into a Trump rally. I mean, it's not as though they're super exclusive like they would have been, I don't know, Godwin's Law in Germany, 1930, 1940. I wonder how exclusive it is to get into a Trump rally, because I would like to see one of these speeches for myself.
A lot of people turned up not necessarily already committed to supporting the Trump campaign. I mean, that's part of why you turn out to a campaign event, right? To see if you like the candidate. See the candidate in person, see how the candidate strikes you. But the Trump campaign made a remarkable decision tonight that they would turn away anybody who would not profess to them or prove to them that they were already committed supporters of Mr. Trump. They turned away people who could not pledge that they were Trump supporters. That it was a private event. Nobody who didn't already support Trump would be allowed in.
Is it getting creepy enough yet? Is it getting under your skin? If you don't profess to loving or already being committed to Mr. Trump, you don't even get to get into hear his rallies. And if you manage to somehow get inside his rallies and you decide to heckle him or you decide to say something he does not like, or you decide to challenge him, oh, whoa, he will turn his audience of brown shirts on you.
I got a little notice, in case you see, the security guys. We have wonderful security guys. They said, Mr. Trump, there may be somebody with tomatoes in the audience. So if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. I promise.
Actually sicking his audience on people that he sees as not receptive to his message. He kicked Jose Diaz-Balart, who is an American-born citizen, out of one of his rallies, for asking a question, that he did not particularly care for. Actually, I think it was a press conference, excuse me, because he asked a question that Mr. Trump did not like. And when he was out in the hallway, a Trump supporter came out into the hallway and told Mr. Ballard, an American-born citizen who just happens to be Latino, to get the hell out of his country. And then when Ballard said, hey, I'm born in America, he says, I don't care. Get out of my country. So what makes him not belong in this country, but you do belong in this country? Well, the guy that was going after Jose was white, and Mr. Ballard is brown. So clearly, he does not belong in this country. And the violence against Black Lives Matters protesters at his rallies has also been pretty horrible. And the media...
But the media is so liberal. The media, they're always giving everything to you Democrats in your smell fair system. The media is so liberal, they're always...
Really? Because they're not covering any of this. All these horrible, horrible things. And if they do, this is just politics. It's just the way things are. Or maybe they don't know what to do because fascism is right in their face now. And a presidential candidate is telling him, hey, punch that guy out there. Do my dirty work for me.
There's a guy totally disruptive, throwing punches. We're not allowed to punch back anymore. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. That's true. The guards are very gentle with him. He's walking out like big high fives, smiling, laughing, like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
So what is one of the things that makes people so loyal to Mr. Trump? Mr. Trump does a few things. First of all, he speaks in a fourth grade level, right? He speaks at a fourth grade level or lower, right? He uses these very short sentences, nothing but a lot of platitudes, nothing but,
we're going to make America great. We're going to be so awesome. Everything's awesome. Everything's going to be coming up great. We're going to kill people and we're going to do it.
And he knows how to feed his audience of morons, and I'm sorry for using that kind of attack. He knows how to use red meat to bring these people in and hold them there.
You know what a gun-free zone is to a sicko? That's bait. That's like gun-free zone. And then they walk in with whatever the hell they're carrying. I will get rid of gun-free zones on schools, and you have to. And on military bases... My first day, it gets signed, okay? My first day. There's no more gun-free zone.
I love the whole first day thing, right? Every one of these candidates, and you know what? Some of the Democrats can be accused of this too. On my first day, you know, the presidency, 365 days in a year, at least 4 years, you're looking at least 1,400 days where you get to be president. Hey, you don't have to do everything on day one, but they try to make it seem like, no matter what it is, it's the most important thing in the world. And in this instance, there will be no more gun-free zones, because the way evil works, the way bad people work, is they go out and they say, I'm a bad guy. They go out and they buy a gun, you know, legally. And they say, I want to go do some bad stuff. And then they put their gun in their trench coat or their back pocket or down the front of their pants or whatever they do. And then they just go walking around looking for a place that says gun-free zone or no guns allowed here or keep your guns out of here. And then they go inside and they begin shooting, because that's what happens in a gun-free zone. It's not a real world that these folks live in. And if it's not guns, if guns don't get you all wet, well... There's also plenty of misogyny at his rallies.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary for president.
I don't know. She could have some big problems. Because Hillary for president.
I'll never forget around 9 o'clock one morning when my dad just decided to send me a text. Because he's sitting in front of Fox News. I'm sure that's what it is. And then he goes, how long until Hillary is going to prison, right? If she's going to be your nominee, oh, that might not work out so well for you. You better hope Bernie's your nominee because clearly she's going to be going to prison. Fox News talking points. And whether it's guns or whether it's women or whether it's Democrats or whether it's how climate change is a hoax brought to us by those Democrats, he's willing to please.
Trump is, as you know, a well-known scientist, brilliant scientist. And he has concluded after years of studying the issue that climate change is a hoax brought to us by the Chinese. Now, that shocked me, Anderson, because I thought that he would have thought it was a hoax brought to us by the Mexicans or the Muslims. Chinese, I didn't quite get. But the point is, if you examine his agenda, it is not an agenda for working Americans. He wants to give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the top 0.2%. So I think, and I would love the opportunity, frankly, I'm prejudiced, I want Trump to win the Republican nomination. And I would love the opportunity to run against him. I think we would win by a lot.
And so far, the numbers are bearing that out. It says, yes, in a head-to-head matchup between these two, Bernie Sanders would win between 10 and 15 points. And then, of course, Trump himself has said, oh, it would be a dream come true to run against Bernie Sanders. I don't think Republicans understand. Trump certainly doesn't understand. If he does, he doesn't care to let us know about it. There is no future for the Republican Party as an all-white party. And yet, they're continuing to push that. Now, Mr. Trump says, I was mentioning a little bit ago, he uses a lot of very unpresidential language when he gets in front of audiences. He's used swear words. He's called people names. And then sometimes he'll say, and recently he said he's going to stop using swears in front of the audience. He understands it's not presidential. But if all he does is repeat what somebody says, like he did a minute ago when somebody said Hillary for prison, if all he does is repeat what they say in the audience, that's not really his fault.
You heard the other night at debate, they asked Ted Cruz, serious question, well, what do you think of waterboarding? Is it okay? And honestly, I thought he'd say absolutely, and he didn't. He said, well, he's concerned about the answer because some people, she just said a terrible thing. You know what she said? Shout it out because I don't want to. Okay. You're not allowed to say, and I never expect to hear that from you again. She said, I never expect to hear that from you again. She said he's a pussy. That's terrible. Terrible.
But he seemed so hesitant when he said it. He was just, all he was doing, he's got plausible deniability. All he was doing was telling that woman in the audience, I don't want to hear you talk like that anymore. So the other GOP candidates have been getting frustrated. The GOP donor base has been getting frustrated. What are they going to do? This guy's rising faster than ever. So at the debates, they've been getting a lot more aggressive with Mr. Trump. And it doesn't seem to be working out quite as well as they hoped it would. Now remember, Ted Cruz won Iowa. And when he won Iowa, oh man. Oh, he got up and he thanked the Lord Jesus. Because remember, he's running to be church pastor and president of the United States in this oligarchy and a theocracy. So Donald Trump lost in Iowa. He's won several much more important states since Iowa, but he did lose in Iowa to Ted Cruz. And when he lost in Iowa to Ted Cruz, oh, he went on the warpath. Because first it was Mexicans, then it was Muslims. Now it's Canadians.
No, these are truly dishonest people. Then he said, Ben Carson has quit the race the day of the election. Ben Carson, during a caucus, Ben Carson has quit the race. Ben didn't quit the race. In other words, Ben Carson quit and let me have your votes. What kind of crap is this? What kind of people do we have running for office? No, it's honestly, really, really dishonest. And I think I know why. You know why? Because he was born in Canada.
So the birther issue, this really is his issue. And the story there, one of the things that Ted Cruz did to win in Iowa, and of course, if you listen to right-wing radio, they will tell you that he had absolutely nothing to do with it, and it was all the media's fault, the media should not have reported it. But what he did was they were doing robocalls, and they were spreading rumors saying that Ben Carson had dropped out of the race. And so they said, hey, if you come out, you know, why don't you go ahead and vote for Ted Cruz? Because Dr. Carson's out of the race. And by the way, even now, Dr. Carson is still in the race. Dr. Carson isn't coming anywhere near winning any of these states, but he is still in the race. So it's said he cheated because he went around telling the Carson supporters, and Carson still had a lot of mojo at that time, a lot of supporters. And then he wins in Iowa. And it looks like, you know what? Maybe Trump isn't going to win. Right? Maybe the Trump train is dying down. Maybe it's going away. Maybe it's going off into the night with its hair blowing in the breeze or whatever. But then Trump starts winning. New Hampshire, South Carolina. You got to remember, the world is watching us right now. Other countries, and they say, well, we shouldn't care what other countries think. No, we should, because we're not on this planet by ourselves. And somebody like Trump looks very dangerous to the rest of the world.
I will say, if you are a Muslim American, if you are from a family of immigrants, if you are a Mexican American, as 30 million Americans are, this win tonight by Donald Trump, it may be chilling. I mean, this is going to be international news tonight, not just because he's a big outsized personality and a political novice who's maybe on track to get the Republican nomination. This is going to be international news tonight because this is going to be seen worldwide as the ascendance of a kind of nativism in American Republican politics that is usually confined to the Pat Buchanan fringe and the George Wallace fringe. And now it's winning.
We're not just flirting with fascism. Fascism is beginning to win in America. And fascism can be defined any number of ways. I have suggested for some time that America is already in fascism, because if you look at it the way Mussolini described it, it's described as taking things that belong to the public and privatizing them all. That's the way I've always understood fascism. But the kind of fascism that's being practiced here is the one that's more widely recognized by the rest of the world. It sort of fits that definition instead. I've been watching Tom Brokaw for my entire life, and Tom Brokaw's really up there in years. He's semi-retired right now. And I've always been really impressed by him. And very, very rarely have I ever seen him surprised. And this election year, is surprising the hell out of everybody. Jeb Bush spent more than anybody did on the GOP side and came in dead last. Bernie Sanders was not even expected to be able to compete. And Donald Trump was supposed to burn out months ago. Right, his star was supposed to go dim a long damn time ago, and yet it hasn't. And not only has it not, but he's now winning states. And it's rare that I get to see Mr. Brokaw stunned, but I did after the New Hampshire win.
The nation is half-cocked in the ticked-off position, although ticked-off is not the phrase that people generally would use when they're talking about that. And a lot of that is fed by social media and about, you know, what they hear on the radio and other places. There's a kind of fear out there that is not entirely justified, quite honestly.
I want to point out something that he said there. I believe that, yes, to a large degree, what you're seeing on the conservative side, Trump being the monster that he is now, that has been brought to you by years and years of Fox News pushing him and pushing oligarchs like him. The right-wing radio telling people that everything is falling down, the world's on fire, and everybody hates America, and everybody's coming to kill us, and we need somebody to save us. Been brought to you by right-wing radio and by false right-wing memes on the internet and right-wing pages lying to people. Right-wing talk show hosts, people who are professional provocateurs, just telling people that everything is wrong all the time, and oh my God, it must be weird to live in a world of that kind of fear. I wouldn't know, because I do not live there. Mr. Brokaw goes on.
I must say, one of the things that I thought this morning when I woke up just defies all the conventional wisdom we've had about New Hampshire all these years. This fiscally conservative state has elected a socialist. This state of great traditional personal values has elected, by a big margin, a man who stands on stage and engages in vulgarisms and obscenities.
I have to correct him. Democratic socialist. It makes me nuts. Because Chris Matthews does it too. Oh, he's a socialist. He's a democratic socialist. And really, there's a yawning chasm between them. He's a communist. Okay, now you're not even in the same ballpark. You are several cities away and in an entire another ballpark that isn't even open for business and has been shut down for years. It's not communism. And it's not flat-out socialism. In a socialist society, a full-on socialist society, that there would be no private ownership, no private manufacturing, no private businesses, no private hospitals, nothing. That's not what he's talking about. In democratic socialism, what we have, the commons, the things that belong to the people, are controlled by the people. Everything else is controlled by private business, but it is still regulated by the people. And then the bully. He points out we actually have a bully running for president. I've been calling him Nelson Muntz. Nelson Muntz is running for president. I'm just waiting for him to just walk over to Bernie Sanders or one of his rivals on the GOP side and yank their underwear up their butt crack and they'll, ha ha, that's what I'm waiting. It's going to happen because a bully is freaking running for president. And he's not just running, he's winning. And I say Nelson Muntz because, yes, he has become a cartoon. Donald Trump decided to skip out on one of the debates. And he decided to hold his own debate just down the street with all the money going to the Wounded Warrior Project. And so, noticing that he's missing, I mean, and of course, viewership for that particular one is down. You know, nobody wants to watch that debate where he's not going to stand up there and call people, you know, retards and a-holes. So, less people watch. But Cruz tried very hard to be as animated, to be the cartoonish character that Donald Trump is.
I'm a maniac. And everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. And Ben, you're a terrible surgeon. Now that we've gotten the Donald Trump portion out of the way.
I do not like him. I do not like him, but it was good. It was good. I saw that, I heard that, I laughed, and I go, you know what? You're right. That's the way he looks to the rest of the world. But here's the thing. We don't really get to laugh about this. Because as much as Donald Trump may seem like a bad reality show, and in effect, he is. He's also winning. Real people, real flesh and blood people are voting for him. Real flesh and blood people are saying what a great job he would do. How awesome he would make America. How he would break through. How he would make America great again. How everybody would be healthy. Everybody would have a high-paying job. A turkey in every pot. A pony in every driveway. Well, I guess we drive cars now. But there's a very serious thing happening here. We make jokes, and we laugh. And those of us that are rational and sane, we look at him and we go, no worries, he's not going to win. But here's the other thing, the other fascist aspect of this. The Klan has come out in a big way for this guy. White nationalists have come out in a big way for this guy. That 30% growth in hate groups that we were talking about at the beginning, it's not just contributed to the GOP. Which, by the way, the Republican Party is now identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. Think about that. The leader of the free world, the leader of the United States of America, after the next election, could also be the de facto head of a hate group in America. So yeah, we get our grins and giggles about this. But real people are voting for him. And it's pretty frightening. And like I mentioned, the Klan, before every state that Donald Trump goes into, the Klan robocalls as many homes as possible, saying, hey, white is right. This is our candidate. The Klan, the white knights, the white nationalists, they're all behind him in a big way.
I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. I urge you to vote for Donald Trump because he is the one candidate who points out that we should accept immigrants who are good for America. We don't need Muslims. We need smart, well-educated white people who will assimilate to our culture. Vote Trump.
I am William Johnson, a farmer and white nationalist. Support Donald Trump. I paid for this through the Super PAC, 213-718-3908. This call is not authorized by Donald Trump.
Now remember, it's not authorized by Trump. And initially, when David Duke came out with his endorsement for Trump, Donald Trump said, I don't really want it. Donald Trump has been asked again. What about David Duke? David Duke is still out there doing work for you. Whatever, I don't care. Not a big deal. Who cares? I would be worried. If that's the kind of person that you're aligned with, you should be worried. We should all be worried. And our media should be ringing gigantic alarm bells. Why is this not a problem? I went to my child's school today, and I watched them sing songs about MLK and Rosa at a big assembly. And the line that kept coming up in all the songs was, she stood up for what is right. He stood up for what is right. Now, why is that a big deal? Because during that time, standing up for that particular belief was not popular, was not okay. Everybody else around you was walking around inside of the same coma saying that, yes, It is okay to do these things. Slavery, in a recent poll, this is 2016, in a recent poll, 20% of Donald Trump voters, 20% think that it was a mistake to get rid of slavery.
Remember, the Confederate flag is about heritage, not hate.
Yet, 20% of them think it was a bad idea to get rid of slavery. Now I understand I'm just a little blue-collar bozo in my studio at home barking into a microphone. And I am not major media. I'm trying to get the show out there a little more because the world needs to hear these things. By the way, shout out to Dan Savage, who recently mentioned us on his show. Thank you for that. I'll talk a little bit more about that in another show. I have to get to this. I'm doing a two-part series on hate right now, hate in America. So let me get back to this. So Donald Trump is animating the racists, animating the Klan members and the white nationalists. And then to everyone else, whether you're seemingly racist or not, he's reminding you that this is our America, white America, not their America.
First of all, congratulations to Bernie. In all fairness, we have to congratulate him. We may not like it, but I heard parts of Bernie's speech. He wants to give away our country, folks. He wants to give away. We're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let it happen. I don't know where it's going with Bernie. We wish him a lot of luck.
He wants to give away our America, wants to give away our country. So, one of the contests coming up, and you'll hear this show. This show will be released just ahead of Super Tuesday. One of the contests coming up is in Vermont. Now, in Vermont, Bernie has a 75-point lead on Hillary Clinton. That's not a big surprise. And I don't mean 75 to 25. I mean, he's beating her by 75 points. But that's where he's from. That is what's supposed to happen. But, there will be a GOP caucus in that state as well. And so a reporter went there to talk to some of these Vermont conservatives to hear what they thought about Mr. Trump. Because even in a place like that, which is deeply in the pocket of Bernie Sanders, you can still find people who think, make America great again.
So where are you from? Are you from Vermont?
Yep, Vermont.
Vermont. And are you a Republican, Democrat?
I'm a Republican.
Got it.
Yep.
And is this your first Trump event?
Yes, it is.
What's he said that really attracts you to him?
Well, he's not a career politician. He can't be bought. He says how what everybody else wants to say and they're afraid to say, and that's what we need. This political correctness is for the birds. You know, it's destroying this country, and he'll make it better again.
Political correctness is destroying this country. Now, if I can remind you, what they mean when they say political correctness is you're not allowed to say the N-word. You're not allowed to say misogynistic things. You're not allowed to say racist things. Also, he goes, he's not a career politician. Now, remember, they're telling folks on right-wing radio and right-wing media the problem isn't the guys that you have sent there because they say, stop sending Democrats, send some Republicans. Then they send Republicans. Then Republicans do a bad job. That's by design. And so they say, well, the problem is that they're career politicians. And these folks just eat whatever spews out of the radio. I know that sounds gross. Just whatever spews out of the radio. And then they just get in front of the camera. We can see your faces. You're a public figure now. And they just repeat the crap that they hear on right-wing radio. It's so wild to me.
So if the election were tomorrow, would you vote for Trump?
I certainly would.
And is there anything he could say today that would make you rethink that?
Well, ISIS is a huge problem. And these people we have in there now, they don't have a clue. They're letting them get more powerful, and they're here in the United States, and we're going to be fighting them here. Then they want to take our guns away from us so we can't defend ourselves. I got news for them. They ain't getting mine.
Once again, just repeating the crap they hear on right-wing radio and right-wing websites. Nobody's coming for your guns. But Mr. Trump has been all too happy to tell them, they're coming for your guns. Is there anything he could say that would make you not vote for him? That would make you not like him? Anything that could strip the support for Mr. Trump away from you? Nope, there isn't. And Mr. Trump understands this full well.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters.
So the freakout has officially begun now that Trump is winning state after state. And now that he looks like he is the eventual nominee, that he looks like the prohibitive nominee, now the freakout has begun. It started with the National Review. Very, very conservative paper. Recently, a couple of gentlemen, one gentleman who represents the National Review, and then another conservative, appeared on NBC to talk about this. Because when the National Review came out and said, hey, Mr. Trump cannot be our nominee, Castellanos pointed out, you know what? You guys should have done this a long time ago.
Well, I think as much as I love National Review and thank it for making me the conservative I am today, I think they've shown up at the war long after the last shot's been fired here. They're telling the Republican Party to pull its ripcord long after we've hit the ground and gone splat. It's 7 days to go before the Iowa caucus, and National Review is saying we should be the party of Ronald Reagan, not Donald Trump. Well, that's great, but I checked, and Reagan is not on the ballot.
Remember that. I started the show off with that. Remember when they all used to just talk about being like Reagan? Oh, my mercy me, the good old days. But Mr. Castellanos points out another problem with the Republican Party. Yes, Trump is a problem, but...
News, I wrote Trump is a strong man we don't need, August of last year, and since then have worked to try to find alternatives. Guess what? We don't have any. And whose fault is that? I think a lot of the fault actually belongs to the conservative intellectual leadership of America that you see in this issue of National Review. With the conservative cause that animates the Republican Party, we don't appeal to young people. We don't appeal to millennials. We don't appeal to young women. We don't appeal to minorities. We appeal to only cranky old white guys like me.
The conservative intellectual base. If there is such a thing. Sorry, there is. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. And so he points out, he says, look, you guys have been building these folks to this point for years, right? And now you're surprised at what has come out. And you know what? There doesn't seem to be a clear alternative. You say crazy pants things on television and radio and magazines and right-wing websites all day. And then when somebody comes out, an animated figure comes out and says all those things on a national stage and starts running for president, then you decide to push the panic button. Now, generally, presidents, sitting presidents, don't play pundit. But sometimes it is just too good to stay away.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president. And the reason is because I have a lot of faith in the American people. And I think they recognize that being president is a serious job. It's not hosting a talk show or a reality show. It's not promotion. It's not marketing. It's hard. And a lot of people count on us getting it right. And the American people are pretty sensible. And I think they'll make a sensible choice in the end.
And the Trump train just continues to roll on. Is there anything that can stop it? Anything that can jump in front of it? Well, you know what happens when you jump in front of a train. So at the most recent GOP debate, the conservatives really, 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 really went after Trump. But as we've learned, no matter what it is, everything just deflects off this guy. You can't shoot him. You can't hit him. You can't drive over him. He just becomes a gigantic speed bump, jumps up, dusts off, and then calls you an effing this and that. This bully running for president. So, slowly, 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 it builds in the GOP establishment with the GOP donors. Is this really going to be our guy? Is this really going to be our guy? Is it time to push the panic button yet? No, no, no. Easy now. Easy. Don't push it just yet.
Donald Trump, he's got a big lead there. 45%. Marco Rubio in second with 19. Ted Cruz at 17. You're an establishment guy. You know, I'm not a mind reader, but I'm going to venture a guess at what your mind is saying. Holy shnikes. Am I close?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm an establishment guy under the new rules of what constitutes the establishment, which is changing. I remember when establishment used to mean liberal. Now it just means that, like, you've been around for 15 minutes. This is, you know, I keep saying it, but it's time to hit the panic button. I mean, I think that conservatives, mainstream conservatives, establishment Republicans, whatever you want to call them, have for so long been saying, okay, you know, let Donald Trump have his fun, but sooner or later, voters are going to wake up. Once the voting starts, they're going to get serious. They're going to come to their senses. And it just never happens. It's never happened.
No, no, no. That's the problem. It has happened. This is how they get serious. This is how they speak out. This is their name. This is what they do. This is what you've built over all these years to the GOP establishment, to the newspapers. This is what you've built. And this is what you get. And then the rest of us get the threat of a Trump presidency. So who the hell is turning out to vote for Donald Trump? I've seen more than a few friends post things online. Hey, Trump is winning in a lot of states. So clearly, there's some supporters out there. Supporters? Hello? Who are you? Where are you? Anybody? Anybody? Seriously, how is he winning with no supporters? This is one of those things that you can't really buy. You can try to buy. But remember, that's out the window now. It's if it were as simple as just buying an election, Jeb Bush would have bought the election. So who the hell are these people that are voting for this guy? A fascist, a racist, a xenophobe, a misogynist. Who's voting for this freaking guy?
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated. We're the smartest people. We're the most loyal people.
I woke up the next day and I turned on the radio and was just listening to the top of the hour news. And I heard that clip. We love the poorly educated. Because that is what's putting Mr. Trump where he is right now. When you're poorly educated, studies show that you're more likely to be xenophobic. You're more likely to be racist. You're more likely to be afraid of every damn thing and feel like you have to arm yourself all the time because everything is on fire and everything's coming after you all the time. When you're poorly educated, that is what's brought us a Mr. Trump. So they say, Bernie Sanders, you can't pay for everyone to go to college in America. Really? Because we have no problem paying for wars. We have no problem paying for bombers that we don't even fly. Gigantic ships. We have no problem paying the CEOs of large military companies, military contract companies that make all their money off the United States military. We have no problem paying for all of that, and that gets us nothing. But this shows us why we need a good education system, why we need a higher education system in America, and why our money would be way better spent paying for that than paying for more freaking wars. So after Donald Trump wins a state, Reince Priebus tries to very quietly come out and go, no, you know, these things will work themselves out. Everything's okay. But when he went on MSNBC recently, they said, I'm sorry, you don't get to pretend that you're not freaking out right now.
You're making it sound simpler than in fact it is, because as we have heard time and again over the past few weeks, there is a whole chunk of the Republican establishment that is not embracing Donald Trump. In fact, they're rejecting him. We have heard about all of the big donors, all of the Republican Party elders, all of the people in Congress who are basically saying anyone but Trump. They're flocking to Marco Rubio now in droves, hoping that he can be the anti-Trump candidate. You can't pretend that there's not a large chunk of the Republican Party that doesn't want Donald Trump.
It's not a big party. It's an all-white party. And it has no future as an all-white party. And good on you for your poker face, for your game face there, Mr. Reince Priebus. But it's not working. And yeah, your party, you built this. You made this. And I really hope the rest of us don't get to deal with this. I really hope the rest of us don't get to deal with a President Trump. I really hope folks start coming out. People start listening to what the F is going on. So I said, Rosa Parks, MLK, they stood up and did the right thing. Right. Everybody should stand up and do the right thing. But they're recognized now because what they did at the time was not recognized as right. This show is a record that there are people. There are people like myself. There are people like you if you're listening and you're not a conservative. If you are and you're a conservative, great. That's wonderful. I sure hope you're not supporting Trump. Holy hell. This show is a record that there are people who stood up and did the right thing. There are people who stood up and screamed about what the F is going on with America, that they're actually considering voting for this freaking Nazi.
We don't appeal to young people. We don't appeal to millennials. We don't appeal to young women. We don't appeal to minorities. We appeal to only cranky old white guys like me.
And then there's fear. Fear is what drives this kind of thing. But we mustn't let fear control us. We mustn't be afraid of everything. If we have a greater understanding of things, we won't be afraid of everything.
We all need to come together. I know how that sounds. I know it's a cliche, but it's also true. Because it's exactly what ISIL doesn't want. So if you're a member of parliament, or a has-been member of parliament, preaching hate at a time when what we actually need is more love, you're helping ISIL. They have told us that. If you're a Muslim leader telling your community they have no place here, or a non-Muslim basically saying the same thing, you're helping ISIL. They have told us that. Or if you're just someone with a Facebook or Twitter account firing off misguided missives of hate, you're helping ISIL. They've told us that.
That's the ironic thing. You folks that are buying into this kind of hate, you folks that are preaching hate, you guys that say freeing the slaves was a bad idea and Trump would make a good president, you're helping ISIL. When he talks about cutting people's heads off, you're helping ISIL. When he talks about when the GOP candidates talk about bombing other countries, making the sand glow, you're helping ISIL. But I guess that's what we get in a country full of poorly educated people.
I love the poorly educated.
But remember, it doesn't have to be this way. This future of despair is easy to avoid.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
And a big turnout, and I mean a big turnout, could be a referendum against Mr. Trump, against hate, against the Confederate flag, against the people who think that it was a bad idea to free the slaves. For people who think that it's a good idea to continue spending trillions of dollars around the world slaughtering people in other countries. We could have a presidency, an election, with a referendum against that kind of hate. Let Trump become your nominee. I would love to see him lose and lose badly. So that if nothing else, we, our country, and the world at large could see that we're not a bunch of buck-toothed, sweaty, slobbery racists in America who are willing to vote for anybody who goes, nah.
If 99% of us voted, it wouldn't matter how much the 1% spends on our elections.
And then there's that. If enough of us turn out, we can turn this around. If the 99% get out and vote, the 99%, that's all of you. I don't care who you vote for. Well, I kind of do and I kind of don't. But I'm not going to tell you that there's something wrong with you if you don't vote for my guy. Just get out and vote. And I believe that if everybody gets out and vote, this guy, and I mean Donald Trump, will not win.
If 99% of us voted, it wouldn't matter how much the 1% spends on our elections.
History will judge us for what we do at this moment. And it's time to stand up and do the right thing so that they, in the future, will sing songs about us. And then our kids and our grandkids will go, really, why is it a big deal that they stood up and did the right thing? You have to understand the zeitgeist at the time. It was wild. It was outside the norm to do the right thing because people who thought that it was a bad idea to get rid of slavery wanted to make a white nationalist president of the United States in 2016. We stood up to do the right thing. Ah, and there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. You can download or stream the shows at OpenSkyArchive.com, our official home, SkeebyStation.com, like us on Facebook.com, at Facebook.com/TFYCPO. Can you hear me? I'm sweating. Woo! All right. You can listen on the go. Just download the Kiwi Station app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. The Open Sky Archive app is still available at both app stores. Individual episodes are available at the iTunes Store. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out. That's probably the best way to hear the show, too. You can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Questions, comments, hate mail, or just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us here at tfycpo@gmail.com. And yes, my name is Melvin. Send me your mail. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening.
We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity.
Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and a big thanks to Kiwi Station for putting us on and making us available 24/7, 365 around the world. My name is Melvin, signing off. Now that I've woken you up, good morning.